The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Bible and you read a promise. God promises because he has done it. God speaks from a point of finality. So when God says, I'm going to give you this, he's saying it because he has prepared it. It is not when he says it that he begins to prepare it. So it may come to you like a promise, but that is not how it is from his end. From his end, the deal has been done. The greatest promise that man ever waited for was the coming of Christ. And it has happened. So every other promise you find, God is promising you healing, restoration in his word. He has prepared them. That's why he's speaking them. And so you might receive it as a promise, but the better way to receive it is knowing that when God says a thing, he has done it from his end. So what you're actually doing in receiving God's promise is that you are walking into what he has prepared. Are you following me now? So somebody is going to say, oh, you know what? Pastor promised, preached, the Lord, God promised me rather, promised me prosperity. And then he eventually begins to prosper. That wasn't the day. It wasn't when God promised that he prepared. So actually, what we call God's promises is actually God trying to bring us into a preparation that he has made. So when God says, I will give you a car, that is how you will receive it. So how people see it is that God is actually trying to give you a car. But actually how it is with God is, I've given you a car. You are just going to find it one of these days. Are you what I'm saying? You are going to get it. So the day you got it is not the day he has given. He doesn't speak if he has not finished it. That's why I've taught you many times. That's why Jesus was called the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Whereas if you read your Bible, Jesus was crucified in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the Bible said he was slain from the foundation of the world. Why speak like that? Because from the foundation of the world, when the decision was made, when God promised the giving of his son, it was done already in his own books. Are you following what I'm talking about? So what man is doing with God is that man is catching up. And this should change how you see what God says to you. So when God says, I'm going to do this for you, you don't go praying, Father, do it, do it. When will you do it? You should actually begin to align yourself to walk into it. Because when he says, I will do, then he has done. So hear this. If you now miss what God promised you, you just miss to walk into it. God did not miss to give it to you. Because he doesn't say if he has not prepared. Are you following what I'm saying now? He doesn't say if he has not done. If he has not done. So just like people say, heaven is a promise made to believers. That is actually not true. Because when you come into Christ, from day one you come into Christ, he sits you in heavenly places already. So the Bible says we are seated with him. So the day we are going to enter heaven after death, in quotes, will not be the first day we've been there. Are you following me? It's just at that time this flesh will now be removed and we can now come into full experience. So when God speaks and promises, he promises because he has done. Is it clear to all of us? And that's to say to you, whatever promise that you are still expecting, let your prayer point change. Stop asking God to do when he promises he has done. Begin to pray that God will show you how to walk into it. Because that's what will happen to you from this meeting. Some of you will see what you must do. See what you must do. Because that's what sometimes is about what to do to walk into. That's the problem. God does not promise if he has not done. He speaks from a point of finality. That's how he speaks. So it will come to you as I will, but to him it is I have. So, sir, can you prove this? Did you not read with us Genesis 12 yesterday? Genesis 12 verse 1. Look at how he spoke to Abraham. And God said, get out of our father's house and all of that. Your land I will show you. Verse 2. Watch. Verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Continue. Come on. And I will bless them that bless thee and all of that. Verse 4. And Lord departed. Go to chapter. Wait, let me. Because I'm trying to show you. Chapter. I wanted us to use another translation to read this verse. But I just want to use King James to show you this. So it does not look like we are twisting the translations so that it can suit us. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me get this because this is not in my notes. Oh, yes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 17, yes. Chapter 17. Your prayer worked. Amen. From verse 1, the Lord, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9. So he was 99 years at the time. And the Lord said to him, walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2, and I will make thy, my covenant between me and thee, and I multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, verse 5, read it to me, everybody. That shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. Why? Father of many nations. He did say, now he has been telling him, I will. As Abraham progressed with him, and I told him, let me tell you, I have already made thee. You can imagine if you're Abraham, you're wondering, my wife never born. He said, but I have made thee. So Isaac didn't need to come before the promise was fulfilled. As far as God was concerned, I have made thee. So you can't tell him, I will. As they progress in their journey, I told him, let me make it very clear to you, I have done it. So, did Abraham accept that God has done it? Yes. How did he accept? He accepted the name. So he began to bear Abraham, father of many nations. So what he was not bearing was, the name he didn't bear was, I will be a father of many nations. That wasn't the name. His name meant, I am now a father of many nations. So he accepted that God has done. Do you understand? So when you read Mark 11, 23, Jesus spoke in this light, in teaching us concerning prayer. He said, I said to you that whatsoever things you shall say, shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass. Now, verse 23 said, if you believe it shall come to pass, it will come to pass. 24, read it to me, everybody. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall. So, should you believe that you will receive them? He said, no, believe that you have received them, that you will have. That's how to pray. That's how God answers. Give me like NLT or Amplified Classic rather. Amplified Classic. Hallelujah. Now, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. So you do not need to believe that one day it will come. You believe that it has come. So is there any promise that God has made to you? You have to believe when he speaks because he has done it. Now, that's actually how I see it. That is why, observe what I'm going to show you. That is why, when God makes you a promise, and you pray further, he will begin to show you pictures of the fulfillment. Let me give an example. When God promised us Supernatural Hub now, building, the day he promised that building, it was done. That's why, as we progressed in prayer, we began to see pictures of the finality of the building. God will not show you pictures of foundation. He will show you the finished product. Do you understand? Because as far as he's concerned, he has done it. You are the one that is catching up to what he has done. So when God wants to give you a child, for instance, he will even give you the name of the child. He will tell you the destiny of the child. He will tell you the future of the child. Because as far as he's concerned, that child is existing already. Are you following me? So you are the one that is still saying, when will I conceive? As far as God is concerned, look at everybody that God spoke to about the child. When God spoke to Samson's parents, God told them everything, even how the child will be, how strong the child will be, what the child will not do. A child has not been conceived yet. Same with Samuel. Same with John the Baptist. Because as far as it's concerned, those children were existing already. So it's not when he makes a promise, he begins to create. Oh, are you following me, friends? He makes the promise because he has created. So can I say to you, just be sure it was God that promised you. Once he's the one, it is done. Are you following me this evening? Just confirm again that it's God that promised you. And that's how I work with God. When it is beginning to get out, I just get back. I want to reassure myself. Shall I hear from God over this matter? And can I say to you, it is done. I hope you came with your voice to receive this evening. It is done. And I hope you're not shouting an empty amen. Put a promise of God in your mind. Something he told you that you're still expecting. And I'm going to speak again. Think of it. Whatever he told you that is like he's delaying because God brought this one for somebody. Is it in your mind now? Do you remember something he told you that you're still expecting? Now let me tell you, it is done. It's done. And it's done, yes, by the word of the prophet. But then, not just because I said it. It is done because before he promised, he did it. So most times in my prayer, after I receive a promise from God, I'm actually searching. You know what I'm searching for? What do I need to do to walk into this? I get the point. So when God said, you are going to build material, I know he has already done it. So what I'm thinking, every time I'm praying, I'm thinking, Father, what's the next step? What wisdom do we need to apply? It is a challenge I'm praying, Father, what do we need to do? What am I praying for? I'm asking for not how God will do it, but how I'm going to come in contact with what he has done. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? So he promised you a building. That building is done. Let me challenge you. If you pray for that, you will see it. Like he will show you the complete building. He will. Because he's not trying to make you happy. He has built it. So you're not going to begin to ask, how do I get into this building that has been built? He keeps his promises. Because before he even promises anything, he settles it. So there is no doubt whether what God said will happen. Because if, I get to the point, if it will not happen, he will not say it. Scratch that. If it has not happened, he will not say it. I get to the point. So why do promises not come to pass? People fail to walk into what God has prepared. Do you remember what the psalmist said? He prepares a table before me. That's how he works. He prepares a table before me. So he will prepare a table. Some may not get to the table eventually. And God being God will not force table on you. So all he will try to do is to try to get you. So that's why when we begin to teach you how to receive prophecies, we tell you, don't talk carelessly. Don't speak negatively. Don't, you know what I'm saying, all of those things? So that you will not talk yourself out of what God has prepared. Are you following me this evening at all? Don't talk carelessly. Speak faith. Confess the right thing. Do this. All of that is just so that you can walk into what he has prepared. These are the days of fulfillment. And God's word to you will be fulfilled. Amen. I heard the Lord say the restoration will happen. Amen. You better not miss me this evening though. I said the restoration will happen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your hands. Let's just bless him this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. For his mercy endures forever. It like three times. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, come on.
Bless the Lord. Oh, His mercy and yours forever. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
So far across the centers, the choir, the ushers, the greeters, technical team, pray from your heart that the Lord will strengthen them, that the Lord will strengthen them. It just came to my heart so strongly that I came in here. Across all the centers, if you are a worker, pray for yourself, the media, the sanctuary team. It takes a lot of sacrifice to get this meeting running. The information desk, pray for all of them. That the Lord will strengthen them. That the Lord will strengthen them. That the Lord will make them stronger. I know many of them are sacrificing a lot to get these meetings running. That the Lord will replenish whatever that is lost. That He will replenish whatever that is lost. He will fill up whatever that is missing. From this center to every center, the Lord will replenish whatever it is. The Lord will supply them with strength. They will not get tired. They will not be weary. It will be new strength every day. They will not run out of ideas. The choir will not run out of songs. Fresh ideas, fresh wisdom, fresh supply of the Spirit of Jesus. Please pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for everything that is happening around their lives this period. That their businesses will not suffer. Their jobs will not suffer. Their studies will not suffer. Pray. Come on. For the cinematography team, for every department, every group, everyone making this, keeping this running, the print media, everybody, pray for them. Pray for them. They will always have ideas, renewed ideas. Pray for the people who take care of the kids, the exalted kids. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we pray and we receive for every team in this place and across all the centers your strength. In the name of Jesus, they shall not get tired. They will work stronger. They will not grow weary. They will grow stronger. They will not run out of ideas. Every morning they wake up with new ideas. New ideas to keep things running. New ideas for things to get better. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you, Lord, for ideas. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom that comes from you. Father, I pray as your servant in this place that you reserve for the workers in this place throughout these 30 days a special portion. Their special portion. Their businesses will not suffer in these 30 days. Their career will not struggle in these 30 days. Their job will not suffer in these 30 days. They will excel in their studies in these 30 days. Every of their life, every aspect of their life will work perfectly and wholly in these 30 days. Thank you, Lord, for strength. It gets better and better every day. Every day we will see them fresh. We will see them fresh, stronger, sharper than yesterday. It will get better every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you believe those prayers? Do you receive them? Hallelujah. Are we ready for God's word? Shout a big amen. Walk up to five persons now. Listen, don't say, don't listen. Listen, listen what they say to them. Walk up to five persons and tell them what you are expecting from this service this evening and for the remaining 30 days of light. Tell them. Tell the first person one, second person two, third person three, fourth person four. Do you have five expectations? Hallelujah. Okay. I think it's okay. Don't you think it's okay? It's okay. It's okay. Let's have a seat. God will grant your expectation. The God life. The God life. So when we say the life of God, is walking in me. By now, that statement should mean something more to you than it meant before. Because in the life of God, everything you need to do life is there. Some of you don't even know how far we are going to go with this teaching. The life of God is walking in me. Working mightily in me. Hallelujah. And like we've been seeing, one of the things that life is working out in you, right, is love. In fact, that's one of the major things. And God put that there so that your character as a Christian will make sense. Because without the love of God in us, we are going to struggle. And I'm going to continue from what I said yesterday. I'm just trying to explain to you how that, remember the scripture started with yesterday, Romans 13 verse 8. Paul said, "Oh no man, nothing, but love." He said, "He that loveth hath fulfilled the law." So we're looking at Friday, he said that when you love your neighbor, when you love people, when you allow the love of God to gain expression in you, you are living a life that has fulfilled the law. So in verse 9, he tells us that all the commands like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, that they are summarized in one simple commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. So love is the fulfillment of the law. Because like I always say, if you love your neighbor, you wouldn't kill the person. If you love your neighbor, you wouldn't lie against the person. And so you notice that at the root of every sin is selfishness. Yes. At the root of every sin, for you to commit sin, it means you've considered your own benefits ahead of what the other person will stand to gain or lose. Think of anything. For you to steal, you've considered your own benefits, how what will we collect to benefit you, above how it will affect the other person. For you to sleep with someone, you've considered the fact that you just have sexual pressure now. The urge is there. And all you're thinking about is satisfying it. You're not thinking of the effect you have on that person. You're not thinking of the fact that that person could actually, you know, it would distract the person who's walking with God. All you know that at this point, I just want to do this. So the root of every sin, you find selfishness. Deal with self, there'll be no sin problem. For you to gossip, you've ignored how whatever you're going to say will affect the other person. So it takes selfishness to sin. It takes selfishness to commit sin. Are you getting the point? So when you begin to walk in love, you will realize that a time is going to come. If you sit down and take stock of your life in the past 5 months, you'll be counting how many times you stepped out of line. Yes. Because once that love thing is the guide, it will take care of everything. I mean, it will take care of as simple as having a bad thought against someone. If you love someone, you won't think bad about them. So you see why God made sure that he installed that ability in us. He made sure he put that nature in us. Let me show you something. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start with that today. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 22. Hallelujah. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? I've taught you this many times. People normally read this verse and say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. No, that's not correct. Because if you look at this place, the word fruit is singular. Look at that. Are you following me? The word fruit is singular. And that's not mistake in grammar. Put other translation, put like NLT or any other thing. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. This kind. This kind. Amplified Classic. The fruit. So all translation made sure they showed that it is one fruit. So, sir, why didn't I list all this in the list? That's what I want to show you. Actually, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Every other thing you find listed, and I'm not just preaching from my head, with everything I've taught you from yesterday and today, you should know this thing is true. Because the major thing the Holy Ghost puts in us is love. You remember? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, in that love, what Paul is teaching is what has been teaching all the while. That when that fruit is working, that love will birth all those things he mentioned. So we're going to look at it very shortly. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love. So a man full of love. What's the second thing there? Go back to James. Is love. The second thing is joy. A man full of love, for instance, will be full of joy. Why? Because there is no room for bitterness. He's not angry with anybody. How you follow what I'm saying now? He's not angry with anybody. He's not fighting with anybody. He's happy with everybody. I've told you, the major cause of depression is that somebody are hating on. If you can deal with bitterness, there will be little space for depression in your life. Very little. In fact, sometimes there will be no space. 85% of people who are depressed, somebody has told something to them that they cannot forgive. So it steals joy. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy. So it's love. But when a man is full of love, he will be joyful. You know, if you are not bitter against anybody, and you're not angry with anybody, you are just happy. If you will wake up every day smiling. And that's how I've been waking up for a very long time now. I've been in a season in my life where many people are angry with me. Many people were saying this about me, talking plenty. Personally, but I just find out, before I just sleep, when does this happen, I'll just kneel down and pray. I'll get to that maybe later today. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this person, I pray for that person, I forgive everybody, and I just sleep. I wake up the next morning happy, cheerful. Sometimes I would have gone half into the fire, remember those things. So people wake up with people in their mind. So Jesus didn't go to the grave sad. Because he said, Father, forgive them. So he was even praying for people that were. Look at how Stephen died. He said, Father, do not lay this sin against them. Don't put it in their account. And he said, I see heaven open. That's how to die. Even martyrdom. So would have just as they're stoning them, say, as you are stoning me, somebody will stone your children. You watch all these Nigerian movies when they want to bury somebody alive. But say, when I say, I curse this village, your 10th generation will not eat food. Everybody will be hungry. That's how Stephen died. Stephen said, Father, do not hold this sin against them. So there was no room for sadness. So you will not read that Stephen shed tears when they were stoning him. He was smiling. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father when they were about to kill him. What sponsors that joy is a heart that is free from bitterness, free from hurts, free from offense. So most times, I was saying it yesterday, we said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Actually, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy, when we practice joy, we are strong. But you know, most times people want to practice joy, but they can't because they are so pained against Mr. A or Mr. B. Let me even say this to you. If there are many people you are angry with, many people, and you believe that all of them, it is what they did to you, let me be the first to tell you that you are the problem. Hate me, like me, you will still like me later. You are the problem. Everybody in your life cannot be wrong. And then you are right. So somehow, everybody, now, the two things are involved. Either you actually have bad decision-making skills that you know how to choose only evil people to be your friend. Or you are just a bad person that has to change. Everybody cannot be wrong. Your mother has hurt you, your father has hurt you, your brothers, your sisters, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, everybody. And somehow everybody just, they're just stepping on my toes. What if you are the one stepping on people's toes? Stop being bitter. Rid your heart from all those rubbish. Why? You see, that's why there's no joy. No, spirit is love. It produces joy. So you look at me and I'm joyful. Laughter is good medicine. Real laughter. I don't touch yes, yes. Praise God. Laughter is good medicine. Do you want to laugh? People are going to say, why are you laughing? Look at this. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dryeth the bones. I told you that bitterness can affect your health. Give me like other translation. Look at NLT. Read with everybody. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You see why you wake up every day sad. Tired. So I just wake up without motivation. No motivation to do anything. Have you forgiven everybody? I'm very classic. A happy heart is good medicine. A cheerful mind works healing. That's the truth. In other words, there's a level of bitterness or depression you can be under. You will be sick. And check this. If you've ever been very depressed in your life, the next season after that, you became sick. Check. Message Bible. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. See how your life is. Amen. Start to really forgive people, man. Let things go. And I'm not just teaching about forgiveness now. Walk in love. Build it as a culture. Because the problem with teaching forgiveness is that when you forgive somebody now, there is no doubt that as you are leaving this place, there is no guarantee rather that someone else will not do anything to you. Actually, if you are working in a team, have you ever had a teammate you are trying to forgive? Every time you forgive that person, the person does more. So I tell you what to do. Learn to forgive on the spot. I say carry it before this relationship starts. Before you come into a relationship, come with about 6,000 bags of forgiveness. And be ready. I really forgive. And let me tell you why, for many of us, and I'm saying by the Holy Ghost, why you always need to forgive is because you are always quick to take offense. Stop taking offense. You will not need forgiveness again. There are many things people do to me. Sometimes they come and say sorry. I say sorry for what? I didn't even take offense in the first place. Because it's because you take offense quickly. That's why you always need to forgive. Are you following what I'm saying now? I don't take offense. Don't always take. That's why the Bible, that's why I mentioned this. The Bible talks about tolerance. Tolerance is making allowance for people's faults. So yeah, leave him. Leave him. If you hear me talk, I make excuses for people. I said that one is just a child. Leave him. And I mean it. And in marriage, for instance, you should practice tolerance more than you need to practice forgiveness. What I mean is, in marriage, there should be more things not getting you angry than things you need to forgive. So that every day in your house is not sorry now, sorry now, sorry now, sorry now. Every day, sorry. So every day. Because you always want to pick offense. That will make you tired, sad, depressed. Don't always pick. There are some ladies that I need to talk to. You pick offense so quickly. Say, no, say me, I did a quick verse. Why? Small joke, they joke with you, your blood is hot. That's why you know you don't look very beautiful. But you don't smile as much as you should. And even this thing I said, like, people are laughing, you still cannot smile. Your smile is here. Something is choking you. Say amen. Be joyful, man. Everything should not be able to get you angry. Every small thing just trips you off. Every small thing people say, I don't know why you're like that. So your husband or your friend is working on actions around you. Before they talk, they count their teeth. He said, I was going to say, should I? No, I mean, we should be able to talk freely around you. You are not masquerade. I will talk to, I'm telling you, we don't have to always calculate our speech. What are you again? That's kind of wife I never wanted to marry and I didn't marry. Yes, I don't calculate my speech when I'm talking to my wife. Say, Your Excellency, sir, the president. I don't do all of that. I just say things. Sometimes I even say it and be like, you should say never talk rubbish. I'm not start explaining. Do you know? She say, I'm not angry. He says, sir, that's not, it's our kind of person. It's your kind of person. Don't be too quick to get angry. You know, I've had to, I don't want to tell this story. So let me tell another person's story. I will not tell my own. So that's... But that is that happened, man. That was the case of, you know, imagine you just give somebody simple advice, and the person picks offense. I won't tell this story. Simple advice, harmless advice. You know the point is, don't be quick to. That's why people's joy, I told you, say Nigeria is a very angry country. Everybody's angry, with everybody. And that's why we are sad. We should be happy. I believe that this church should be the most joyful people on earth. Yes, I believe. I believe that Christians should be the most joyful people on earth. Because we are men full of love. You are not yours this moment. By next minute, we've forgotten it. You are the one still carrying it in your mind. Oh, we are just moving on with our lives. Have you ever greeted someone? The person is still carrying face, but you say you are fine. He said, what do I do? I said, I don't care if you like carrying face. No. The Bible said you should do something. The Bible said if you are carrying your gifts to the altar and you remember that your friend has something. He didn't say if you have something. He said, remember that your friend. He said, drop the gift and go and make peace. So when you're not greeting the person, you say, carrying face, say, is it because of what happened yesterday? Sorry now. I've left it. No two reason. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't say it well. You have just moved on with your life. But it's just fine. How hard is that? Huh? Very hard. It's very easy. Say the life of God is walking in me. Love, joy. The next is peace. Peace. Amen. You see, when you love people, you are at peace with yourself. You are at peace with others. Yes. When you stay in a place and you're always quarreling with people, suppose the love of God is not working in you. If the love of God is working in you, you have to be at peace with yourself. You be at peace with others. Yes. Not because they're not going to hurt you, but because you're just fine. You're not fine. Amen. Then the next one is long. Long suffering talks about patience. You know, when you master the love of God, you will learn to be patient, especially with people. There are people that are not patient with people. When you really love people, you'll be patient with them. Yes. People are growing. People are getting better. When you love them, you'll be patient with them. And that's why a leader who does not walk in love cannot raise people. Because raising people demands some level of patience. I get to the point. But if you're always impatient, it's a mark that the love of God is not working. You're not allowing it to flow. So you see us sing. You see 1 Corinthians 13 tell us that the love of God is kind. Love of God is patient. That's the same thing Paul is saying here. First Corinthians is love. In that love, you now find joy, peace. You find lots of it. That's patience. So the man full of love will be joyful. The man full of love will be peaceful. The man full of love will be patient with people. You'll be patient with people. Patient. The next is gentleness. Actually, that word gentleness is not properly translated in the King James, actually. Right? That word in the Greek is the word Christotis. Remember Christotis? Christotis, I taught you, that was 4 years ago. That word is the word kindness. That's what it means. That's why if you check like NLT or something, other translations will use kindness. What is NLT use? Kindness. That's the right translation. Are you following me? It's Christotis. Christotis. It means kindness. So you notice the man full of love will be kind. So you notice Paul was not telling us the different things the fruit of spirit is. He's telling us the different things you find in that fruit. Because the love of God is kind. I get what I'm talking about. So if you're a man of love, you'll be kind. So I'm just trying to tell you that the simple hack to the fruit of the Spirit is to be full of love. So when I teach love, I've taught you the fruit of the Spirit. Are you following me, friends? So a man of love will be kind to people. Kind to people. Kind with his words. Kind in his actions. Kind in his interactions. Let me show you something. One of the major proofs that you are kind is what you do when you are very angry. When your temper is so high. Some people, their kindness stops whenever they are angry. I've seen people like that. They're very good people. But when they are angry, they're unpredictable. Let me even say this to you. If you are unpredictable whenever you are angry, you're not a kind person. You're not even a good person. Because people even believe that when you really know people's character is when they're angry. Be kind, even if you are angry. You know the kind of marriage that is sweet is when you are angry with your spouse. He has done something. Right? Yet the person is sick. You are still buying drugs.
Like I said, when you're still caring for the person, you're still helping the person, maybe you're angry with your spouse, or before he comes in, you've ironed the clothes, polished the shoe, and you've kept it. You are still kind. Not the one that you will do, you start suspecting. You are angry, but then you still cook food. Not the one you cook, you say, ah, baby, test it first. Well, it doesn't trust you. Kindness is not about how you feel. If your kindness is attached to how you feel, you're not a kind person. I mean, you're a husband or you're a wife. Your husband said, please send me some, or your wife rather said, send me some money. You say, okay. But before the money now came, the person annoyed you. Yet in your anger, you still send the money. Don't you see how God treats us? Does he ever get angry and then maybe when he's angry, he promised that he's going to bless you and prosper you. Then you now commit sin. And I say, no, I'm done. No. Even in his anger, he's still kind. Are you following me? In fact, when God hit the height of his wrath, he sent Jesus to die. In his anger, he still died for us. So how God showed that he was very angry was to be kind to us. That's why we say the wrath of God is his love. Because in the height of his wrath, he manifested his love. That's kindness. You see why I said yesterday that this love of God we are teaching. If you are not a believer and you don't have the life of God, you cannot do it. Because the love of the world teaches, this is not what I'm teaching you. The love of the world is, if you do me, I do you back. If I promised you 1 million naira and you annoy me, nothing for you. So, won't you want to marry a kind man? Won't you want to marry a man full of the love of God? A lady full of, not a lady that, when she's angry, you know, I hate people that are not predictable when they're angry. If you're angry, I should be able to predict, I should be able to know that, you get something to my wife, you know, if you do, whether she's averse or she's happy. She'll be predictable. Every time it's not, I'm sorry. I did it out of anger. I'm sorry. It's because I was angry. Every time. So because you're angry, I didn't mean to slap you. I slapped you because I was angry. So I called you an idiot. You said, you know you're not an idiot now. It's because I was angry. You're not a kind person. You're not kind with your words. You're just selfish. Just thinking of how you feel at that moment. That's why they said I'm an idiot. And I knew a man of God that, I've told you guys this so many times, so, man of God that he had gone to pay bribe, not pay bribe, but had gone to do introduction just to go and see those people. And the girl gave him some horrible insult. He called off the wedding. Say, sir, that's me. No, he's not mean. He's well married today. He's doing well. He's even popular in the country, so you know him. He's not mean. Is wisdom. There are some things, sir, somebody is thinking, if it's like that, me, I will not marry. You have to change. Because once you're angry, everything just, you're an idiot. See your big head, your big, let me thank your God that I even stooped so low to even agree to marry you. Pray is not my son you're talking to, or that my son is not accountable to me. Because if he tells me you said that, marriage is over. It's over. Or at least you put it on hold and work on your life to see if you will respond to treatment. Because why wouldn't you just, so because you're angry, you don't know what you say to people, they don't forget. They don't forget. Be kind with your words and don't let your emotion determine how kind you are. If you're a kind person, whether you are angry or not, it has to be static. So you don't get angry with your children and say, I will never pay your school fees again. Because you're angry. So that's the word, gentleness. But actually, the written is Christos, is kindness. The next word is goodness. A man of love is a good man. Goodness is just what is goodness, virtue, character. He behaves well. Character.
So this thing we call Gen Z life of living carelessly. You know what is character? You know what is goodness? Character, like virtue. Virtue. Virtuous. That's what goodness is. Just a good person. Talks well. Speaks well. Courteous. Dresses well. Not mad. Just good. Paul is saying, if you have the love of God, you will also produce that one. You will also be a good person. Proper character. The next thing is faith. Faith. Actually, the right thing is faithfulness, actually. Not just faith. The right thing is faithfulness. A man of love is a faithful man. See, NLTV use faithfulness. The right thing is faithfulness. The Greek word is pistis, actually. But contextually, the right thing is faithfulness. So a man of love is faithful. He says a thing, he means it. Okay, put it this way. A man of love does not tell lies. You see how Paul is using this to summarize everything about Christian conduct. I'm trying to tie up what I opened up yesterday by saying that love is the foundation of Christian conduct. That's what I'm trying to show you. So by the time we are done, you find out that every area of your Christian life is covered in this fruit of the Spirit. Every area. That's why when Paul finished in verse 24, he said, against such, there is no law. That's verse 23, rather. Against such, there is no law. I get the point. In other words, there is no law you can break up against love. Are you following me? So he mentioned faithfulness. So a man of love is faithful. He says a thing, he means, he says, I'm coming by two, he's there by two, because he loves you. He doesn't want to keep you waiting. One of the most wicked things I've seen in my life when we were growing up, and it was done among ministers, and I tried to speak up, and they felt I was not being woke. So I just let it go. These guys can't lie. Jesus Christ. Somebody's in his house. Somebody's waiting for him. He said, I'm coming. You go see me now. Just come up for that mango tree. You go see me as I they come. And I mean, wear blue. He's still at home. And people think he's guy man. Say, I'm a guy thing. It is wickedness, selfishness. So you're not even thinking, what if that person has something else to do? Why not say the truth? I'm 15 minutes away from you. I'm still at home. So if you need to do something, please do something. Let's reconvene in 20 minutes time. Simple. But no, you want to keep that person there. Say, I'm coming. You are still in the bedroom. You're not a faithful man. You're not somebody we can do business with. A life of love, I should to show that they will save you many things. Because a man of love, you are faithful. You know, there was a story one of our people was telling me yesterday. I was going home. How that in his workplace, they put someone, he's an engineer, he works, handles projects. They put someone to supervise the project. By the end of the project, over how many bags of cement we are missing, how many rolls of wire we are missing, they called army to beat him up. But beating up is not the problem. He has lost that contract forever. That contact, that relationship has been gone. You know why he's not a man of love? A man of love would have thought, why am I stealing? Someone that is building has spent something that's over 100 million naira. So why will you want to take more from that person? But that's not how selfishness feels. Hey, she get the money, why should they spend that? That's selfishness talking. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? A man of love will be like, she has spent so much now. It's even too much. So let her even sell these bags that are remaining. So that she can at least have something to... That's love talking. See, a man of love is faithful. You can trust what he says. If he gives you record. So if you falsify figures in your place of work, you're not working in love. Because you're not faithful. Falsify figures. Play with the records. Faithful man is one of the most castings. You see goodness and faithfulness. Goodness is that word virtue. The Bible said a virtuous woman who can find. Faithfulness. Proverbs said every man can proclaim himself a good person. He said, but a faithful man who can find. The both of them, the Bible said who can find. Virtue, faithfulness, scarce commodity. Scarce commodity. So when if you walk me very closely, I value people that keep to their words. Actually, if you come around me, the first, should I even say this? Let me say this. People that are around me know. If you are not careful where you are around me, you will assume
that this guy is careless and he's deliberate. If you come into my car, you're going to see money lying up and down. If you come into my house, you're going to see, sir, I want to take my, go to my wallet and take it. Now, no, I'm testing you with something. You just need to break that in once. You won't even know that I know you've broken it, but that's it. That's over. Yes. I learned it from my dad. Enter my dad's room. You will see money lying everywhere. The day you take it. That's the, you know, that he counted it. And it's not big money. 10 naira, 20 naira. You just say, ah, this man, he will forget. He will not. You have to be faithful. You should be able to trust you with things. You should be able to say things and we can take it to the bank. And say, no, is that person that said it? We believe it is true. Some people, the reverse is the case. Is it that brother that said it? Yes. Ah, let's verify again. Because you're not the man of love. I'm full of love. So we look at faithfulness. What's the next? That's the next verse now. Meekness. Meekness. Simply put, humility. A man of love is humble. Because the root of pride is still self. Because a part of you makes you feel you are better than every other person. That's why you're proud. So all this pride thing is because, are you following this teaching at all? So is there any part of your Christian life that we're not touching now? Just discussing one subject, love. So I'm just defending Paul's statement in Romans 13. That when you walk in love, you fulfill the law. That's what I'm defending with this teaching. Meekness. So you're a man of love, you're going to be humble. That thing that makes you think you're better than everybody is pride working in you. It's not love. It's pride. And once you are proud, you don't just think it, you act it. Before you know, you intimidate people, you look down on them, you think you're better than them. That's not love. If you love people, you don't look down on them. You don't intimidate them. You don't rate them below you. If you care about people, you treat everybody with maximum respect. Maximum respect. Not so that I just see people very proud. They only respect you when they know you are better than them. That's when they will even give you audience or respect you. So when I meet such people, I like dealing with them. Because I will never let you know who I am. Yes. I just act very simply. So that is when they are finished acting up and messing up. After that, they say, is he the pastor? He's the pastor. I come and say, good evening, sir. I've seen you finish. Nothing more. You know, one of the things you are taught, let me just teach you about something about courtesy. Anybody you've not met or you don't know, no matter the age, greet that person with sir or ma. If it is a simple instruction for social media, you want to chat to somebody you've not chatted with before, good evening, sir. Good evening, ma. It's not hard. So you're not going to insult your destiny helper. So why should I tell him, sir? Learn it to. You cannot come to my... People have lost their opportunity forever. Whatever small thing you think God has put inside my life, they will never access it all their lives. Because they came to my DM and said, sup. Sup. Never again. It's your father. I tell you, sup. Sup. And sometimes, once you go run through their profile, you will see the age. Good evening, sir. It's even good you are saying good evening, sir. When you finally meet the person, say, how is everyone calling me, sir? Sorry, you know, people got see. I've had to do that. Let me tell you, it's about humility and courtesy. There is no man or woman that I've ever wanted to gain access to, that I didn't gain access to. Courtesy will give access to many people. I've gone into people's DM. Even my pastor. I first wrote to pastor through his DM and he replied me. My pastor also replied, if I can't talk to me, we'll not talk to you. But it's just simple courtesy. I can tell the point. I just went there. Give me, sir. This is that. He now replied. That was already talking. And it has formed a very healthy relationship today. There is no man I've ever wanted to talk to. If I just have access, I will talk to you. Stay humble. Be courteous. Simple.
they will give you attention. But you just go there, sup. Hello, bro. Who is your bro? How am I even sure he's your bro? People are not just... Somebody came to talk to me in my office one day and said, you know, we men of God. He was talking. And this guy, maybe he's a man of God actually. Not maybe. To start with, he's a believer. If a believer, you're a man of God. But you know, you cannot go to my office and tell me, we men of God. You know, it is we men of God pass through. I say it's true, man of God. I know what answer you. Say it's true, man of God. Do you know if you, I have said it many times, if you go to my pastor, it was even recently my pastor was telling us, he's saying, I know you guys, so I know the grace upon your life, so, you know, and all that, and all. He was saying, I know some of you that are prophets and that this. My pastor has never heard that I've ever healed cancer, headache. It's not necessary. He doesn't even know I can teach. It's not necessary. If he knows for himself, he can't hear it from me. It's not even in my attitude or my disposition around him. I mean, you've seen me go to meet that and say, you know, I was teaching 2 days ago. He doesn't even know all of those things. I get to the point. He must, that is just walking in love, because pride is what makes you think you are bigger or you are equal to people who are bigger than you. And it's everywhere. In the choir, he's there. Someone just thinks that I'm the most important person in this choir. You know the problem? When you begin to think that way, God will just disgrace you. No. God. He said he exalts the proud, the humble. He said he will disgrace you in a very special way. All this is disgrace. He will allow the devil to be talking to you. One day you say, I'm going to leave this choir. If I leave, let me see how people will sing next Sunday. By next Sunday, you watch the video. The choir will be singing. People will be under the anointing. You will now find out that you are the problem in the choir. Maintain a humble. It takes love. You know, see everybody. But the Bible actually says you actually consider people bigger than you. The Bible says you should look at people and say, okay, this one is better. That doesn't mean you should be intimidated before them. But that keeps your head sane. If you love people, now let me say this before I continue. If you really love people, there will be no sense of competition. Actually. Any marriage where husband and wife is competing, there's no love there. They want to outdo each other. If you see where there is love, you don't even know who earns more and who earns less. Once there is competition, love has left the building. So the reason you're trying to outdo is because there's no love. No competition. So what's the last thing? Temperance. That word temperance simply means self-control. Amen. Self-control towards appetites. This way we'll talk about immorality. So Paul is saying, if you are actually a man of love, you will control your appetite. You will control your urges. Are you following me? You will control it. So is there any part of the Christian life that a life of love will not cover? None. So when you see me teach on love work the way I teach on it, it's because of this thing I'm showing you. It covers everything. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book he called The New Kind of Love. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book he called Love the Way to Victory. Every great man of God I know have written a book on love. I will even write a book on love. It's a subject that if Christians master, many things will stop. Many quarrels will stop in church. And I was just sharing my wife when I was coming to church, how a particular church in this country, they fought so much in that church because they were fighting for leadership. That people were dying. One of the men that was fighting, that was competing with another person, was to go for a meeting. Sent his assistant. They shot the guy dead. Church. Because they thought he was the one.
Because once we take this out of the building, love, all our miracles, and these are men of God, you know their names, so. Miracle, power, move. But we have not given the real expression to the life of God in us. So, under what circumstance will a believer sit down and plan and call assassin and say, take this money? You will see the guy, he's carrying a blue car. What was happening in your heart when you were doing that thing? Like nothing was talking to you. You felt nothing. And I called a sister, no, a brother rather, that was dragging, one brother was dragging one man of God. I said, how do you do it? He said, I just write what I know. I said, so we are writing, don't feel anything. I said, did you do your money devotion this morning? He said, yes. I know he did not. I said, so you how long did you pray? He said, like 2 hours. I said, so you finished praying. After praying, you picked up your phone. And the Holy Ghost said, my son, go ahead. So you'd have a prayer life. It takes some level of ignoring the voice of the Holy Ghost to do some terrible things. It takes some level of shutting down the voice of that life of God inside of you. That's what I'm going to begin to show you today. That eternal life is not produced. Now, let me show you this because I wanted to show this before we continue. Go back to verse 22. Let me just show this. Let's just get everybody. Stop. The fruit of? Fruit of? The fruit of? Is it the fruit you should bear? Who owns the fruit? So, should a believer try to bear this fruit? Think. Should we try to bear the fruit? It is the fruit because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. So, Romans 5 verse 5 and Galatians 5 22 are they saying the same thing? Romans 5 5 said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5 22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is it the same thing? That saying that God's Spirit bears a particular fruit in us. So, Galatians says it is a fruit. Romans said it is shed in our hearts. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, it's actually not a fruit you should try to bear. It's a fruit that you already bear. The Holy Ghost is one bearing that fruit in you. So, what we have to learn is how to align ourselves. How to, should I say pluck the fruit? How to walk in it. Give me like NLT. NLT. Read together, everybody. NLT. Who produces? So it's not the believer that should try to bear. Are you following? Amplified Classic. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. So it is that life in us that bears this fruit. Not us. So what it means is that love is working in every believer. So what we learn is how to walk in the Spirit. How to walk in that life. So when I'm teaching you, don't be bitter. Don't be this. I'm not actually saying you should go and pray, Father. So a believer cannot pray prayers like, oh Lord, give me love. That's a stupid prayer. Once you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit, He produces love inside of you. Inside love, you have all of these things. Is it clear to us? Let me read that verse to you with the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation. Which is a very good translation, by the way. Say amen. So which one is the best translation? Which one do you think is the best? Tell me. Read Passion, everybody. Let's go together. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is what? Divine love in all its varied expressions. What are those expressions now?
joy that overflows, peace that... Is it clear to us? So that fruit is divine. Lord, at least you now believe me. Because the Bible says I've said it. But I didn't even see this before I came to this. I've been saying this for a very long time. The Holy Spirit is just love. It's not many fruit, it's love. All these things you see are inside love. So joy is a product of love. So if you are full of love, you'll be joyful. But look at this. Who produces that spirit? The Holy Spirit. The one that produces that fruit. Are you still here? So can you say, I have love? Can you say, I have peace? Can somebody say, I have joy? Will you be correct? Can somebody say, I have long suffering? Will you be correct? You will, because it's the Holy Spirit that produces that fruit. So, long suffering is just an expression of love. Patience, an expression of love. But key thing is, it is the Holy Spirit that bears this fruit in us. So it is not a fruit that you should bear, or a fruit that you should pray for. But I receive love inside of me. No. I receive joy. No. I receive patience. The Holy Spirit is bearing that fruit. So what do we now do? Why am I not working in it? Go back to King James. Verse 23 said, against such there is no law. Right? Verse 24. Let's go together. They that are Christ have. Did he say you should? What did he say? You have. So what is this flesh in this context? That's old man. That's sin nature. Have you been in this class all the while? So you've crucified that sin nature with the affection and loss. Now what do you now do? Verse 25. Read everybody. If we live. So can we read this as, since we live in the spirit, what should we now do? So what is the job of the believer? To walk in the spirit. That walking in the spirit will be to live the God life. So let me read this in another way. Since we have the God life, let us live the God life. Is it clear? Since we have and we live in the spirit, let us now walk in the spirit. Since the life of God is working in us, let us now walk in the life of God, not work. This small grammar class. Let us walk in the life of God. So it's not to walk to get, it is to walk in. So walk in will mean that you're already there. So I can't say it's not walk into. If I say walk in this building, what am I saying? You're already inside this building. It's not walk into. It's not walk out to enter. It is walk in. Because the Holy Ghost has brought you in. You are now walking in it. So we have love. We have to walk in love. We are in the spirit. We have to walk in the spirit. We have to walk in the life of God. So I'm going to show you. How do I begin to open up today? Tomorrow we'll continue. Are you getting blessed? So how do I begin to walk in all of this? That we have seen. Love. Patience. They are working in me already. I'm already in it. How can I begin to walk around? So it's not how do I get it. You've gotten it already. Are you following me, friends? You already have it. You're already full of love. You're already full of joy. You're already full of peace. You're already full of self-control. You're already full of patience. You're already full of kindness. Shout amen, somebody. Say, I have it, I have it, I have it. Say, I have the life of God. I have the life of God. Preach that to three persons. Come on. Tell them I have the life of God. Come on. I have the life of God. Glory! The life of God is working in me. So, can I also say love is working in me? Can I also say the Spirit of God is working in me? Is that the same thing? Can I also say patience is working in me? Can I also say self-control is working in me? Say self-control is working in me. So the next day, There is an urge to smoke. Why are you so sure that you will not fall for it? Self-control is working in me. The next is there's an urge to follow man. Because this urge is real. It's real, Abby. Sometimes with all the scriptures in your head, you still don't understand your body. You're doing shakarabato karabada. And the guy is still calling your phone. He said, I've sent you transport fare. When are you coming? My God. Meeting some courts here. He said, I've sent you transport fare. Where are you coming? He said, in Jesus' name, Shandoba, Shandoba, Shandoba. I'm in front of your gate. I came to pick you up. How do you conquer such things? One foolish girl will now say, well, I'll just go there. I know we're not going to do anything. I'll just go there. Somebody just says, sir, you just called me foolish. I'll just get there. We'll not do anything. And the guy knows that you don't have sense. Because you're not telling him, I'm coming. We're not going to let him say, okay, come. Have self-control. That self-control is not just seen in getting there, not doing anything. It is first of all seen in being able to tell the boy to go home. So what of the money he has sent? Send it back. Self-control. Self-control. It is self-restraint. Do you remember yesterday? The love of God constrains us. So what if I've not eaten? What if I've eaten 500 from it? Send the rest back. Because I know it's not you that ate it. It's just that bank deducted the record. Just send the rest back. Glory to God. I have the life of God. You know, I'll get to that maybe tomorrow, but that's sometimes when you shut your door, when the guy is calling, he's shouting, I have the life of God! I have self-control! So why do we have to shout? Sometimes the voice in your heart is loud. Once you begin to shout, I'll get to that tomorrow, but once you begin to do that, one of the things that I found out with you, I don't know why God is pushing me to that place, maybe it's because of somebody here. One of the things I found out is, when you sincerely want to win temptation, God will make a way of escape. The next thing that's going to happen is that he's going to put an idea in your head. That idea may be, why not call your PGTI leader? Call your PGTI and tell him that somebody wants to come and pick you. Yes. Why not call your pastor? He says that he will not pick you. Say, send him a text. Now send the chat. Good evening, Dad. Your beloved daughter is at the verge. You know, sometimes once you send that text, you can't even go again. He says, what do I tell the person? Tell the person, my daddy says I should not come. Spiritual daddy, physical daddy, doesn't concern him. My father. He said, your father knows I'm coming. He said, yes. Every guy will run when you hear father. Say, my father said, your father, where does he stay? He's in this Enugu. Father, he said, he's coming to my house. Run, no. If you really want to be, it's self-control. A believer should not be someone that anything that comes at you, you collapse. What happened to self-control? You should have testimonies of victory. This guy tempted me, I won. This one, I won. And let me even tell you, one of the things the Holy Ghost does to you, that he begins to teach you how to remove yourself from the place of temptation. But I was going to ask you, why does that boy have your number? How did he even get your account number? Okay, you're OP. Don't always keep yourself in a place where you need to always fight. Because sometimes one of the ways the Holy Ghost helps us win is to even avoid the fight entirely. That is why I've taught you boundaries will save you where explanations cannot. So instead of you getting to a point as a guy, when you're in your room saying, stop it now, avoid that room. Are you getting the point? That's self-control. It's not only to manifest when you've entered the room and they're saying, leave me now. I thought you promised. Sure, we had an agreement. We had an understanding. Mm-mm. Self-control is, I'm not going to come to your house. He says that we're doing talking stage. Talk. Go to spa. Go to open places. Come to church. After church, people go downstairs and talk. Go home. Yes. One of the things this does to you as a young lady, it preserves your dignity. The point is, it is not every guy you talk with that you're going to marry. It's only one at the end of the day. See, imagine you have record with all of them because of your lack of self-control. You see what a life lacking the love of God can do to you. Before you know, you have Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mr. D. All of them have collected their portion in your life. So you have self. God put it there. Use it. And from tonight, I'm going to show you how to use this. Is that okay? How to walk in them. Since we live in the Spirit, even like NLT, let us also walk in the Spirit. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Have your seat. Let's close. We have 15 minutes to go. Since He has installed this nature in us, let us now begin to pattern our lives according. The first step, I'm already addressing it, which is why I'm doing this teaching, in walking in the Spirit, is to know. I'll just address that today. That's why this status of life is important. You need to know. Because the first step to walk in something is to even know that you have it. You have to recognize those facts. Know that life is working in you. Know that the love of God is working in you. Know that you have self-control. There are people that have not been able to beat smoking because somebody told them they can't. But now you need to know that when God saved you, He installed a nature that can say no to anything. So you have to know. So you see, 1 John 5 verse 11. We saw it from the first day. We'll see it again today. This is the record that God had given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Verse 12, He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe. So I've shown you, when you know that you already have eternal life, it helps you in a special way. So the problem is that people don't have. They don't know that they don't have. And that knowledge I'm talking about is beyond just knowing this here. It's beyond hearing it. I mean revelation knowledge. When you know to a point that you can no longer doubt it. When you know, for instance, I know that the love of God is working in me. So I know, for instance, that there is nobody I cannot forgive. I know it. And I'll tell you how to. Because it starts from knowing. Because if you don't know, you cannot walk in. It's not to hear it once, it's to know it. You've heard it now, but you still don't know it. He says, how you sure I don't know it? When you know it, we will see. You don't pretend to know things. When you know things, you know them. You know, nobody taught you, for instance, that seat you are sitting on can carry your weight, but you know it. How do I know that you know it? That's why you sat on it comfortably. If you are doubting whether you could carry your weight, you will not sit on it. When you really know things, it produces action. When you really know things. When people say, I know grace, but your life is not gracious, you don't know it. You just have some head knowledge of it. You've mentioned it. You might have even thought it, but you don't know it. I know how the healing power of God works. But you never healed anybody. You don't know it. I follow what I'm saying. If you know it, that'll be the result. I want you to know that the life of God is good. And I want you to come to a point where you know it, that it begins to produce results. So you notice what Paul did with the Corinthian church. He was correcting them for their many mistakes. Corinthian church made many mistakes. Those guys were interesting. By the time you did chapter 2, chapter 3, they were fighting. One said, I belong to Paul. The other said, I belong to Apollos. There was division. They had fight. In fact, Paul called them carnal. He called them carnal. By the time you get to chapter 5, they were already addressing an issue of a brother that was having an affair with his father's wife, a believer, carrying eternal life. So what was Paul's answer to that, their problem? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not. Look at that. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. So in that temple, don't you know? So he wasn't saying, I want all of you to become temples of God. He's saying, don't you know that you are? In other words, he's saying, the reason that they're doing that is that they're not aware. They've heard it. They've heard Paul teach it, but they don't know it. Knowing you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God, just like him saying, knowing not that God lives in you. Knowing not that the life of God, don't you know that his life lives in you? Have you forgotten? How come you're quarreling with people? Don't you know that God's life is living in you? How come you're still fighting? Because it's in this 1 Corinthians 3 that he addressed people saying, I'm of Paul, others I'm of Apollos. So he spoke to a point. He said, don't you people know? In chapter 5, he began to address the brother having an affair with his father's wife. He addressed it in chapter 5. In chapter 6, he addressed the fact that they were taking each other to court. Then he got to verse 18. As he was addressing, he now said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man committed is without the body. But he that committed fornication is sinned against his own body. Verse 19. He now said, what? You see how Paul is a dramatic writer. He said, what? Know ye not that your body. He repeats the same thing. You know, he will just talk to the point. He just said, he said that you guys don't know. I feel what I'm saying now. It's that you people don't know. How come you guys are fornicating? It's that you don't know. In other words, Paul is saying, if you had actually known that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, there are some sins you cannot commit. You can't commit sin. So it's ignorance that's the problem. And ignorance is not hearing it. People, when they hear no, they think it's about hear. To hear is not to know. I've explained this to you guys many times. My boy's name is Chizitherem. When we gave birth to him, we gave him that name. But he didn't know it. It was his name, but he didn't know. Do you get the point? At 3 months, you say, Chizitherem, he'll be playing, do what he's doing. But at the time we come, you know, he will now find out that it is his name. Even if he's sleeping and you call that name, he will get up. But the day he began to respond to it was not the day it became his name. It has been his name on his birth certificate all the while. Just that was the day he eventually got to know. You have the life of God, but many don't know. Many have heard it. Has he ever heard me call him Jesus' name? Yes. But hearing is not knowing. Are you following me? So let me show you. Look at Peter's admonition in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The build up of this verse is that in verse 3, go to verse 3, let me give you the build up. Verse 3, he said, according to his divine power, has given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain and godliness, right? According to him that called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this we might be partakers of the divine. He's telling us that we have the divine nature in us. So he told us so. In other words, he has put his life in us. Then verse 5 now says, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What is he listing? He's listing the fruit of the Spirit that shall manifest in you. Virtue, knowledge, what next? Knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience to patience. This same thing, the same list that Paul made, using different words. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, follow that. I'm trying to show you why people don't work in these things. Why it doesn't manifest in them. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. The brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. How is he blind? He has forgotten. It's when you forget what God has done in you that you become blind. So people don't walk in these things because it's not in their mind. They've heard it, but it's not there. So once a man forgets what God has worked out in him, all those fruit of the Spirit will not work in his life. He will not be working in them. So it takes awareness. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? It takes knowing. So he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I can also add, he has forgotten that he has the life of God. He has forgotten that he is full of the Holy Ghost. He has forgotten that he is full of love. He has forgotten. So he doesn't know. So, let me give you some counsel before we go today. Study the word. Because how to know is actually very easy. How to know? James 1 tells us that we must be continuous hearers. It's when you continuously study, continuously read, continuously hear. That's why many of you would have observed in the past 4 or 5 days, your conduct has been changing. There are things you used to say before that you can no longer say now. Before the end of these 30 days, it will correct fully. What is happening? You've been hearing certain things over and over again. When you hear it enough, it will produce doing. Whoso looketh into the power of liberty and continue daring. So you must keep learning the word. Keep learning the word. Keep learning the word. Mark 4 verse 24. Let me show you. Mark 4 verse 24. Everybody just look at the screen. Mark 4 24. Read me, everybody. Say unto them. Take it what you hear. It shall be measured to you. Give me Amplified Classic. We're going to read it together so to make sense to you now. Let's go. Said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So how people actually produce results is when they hear and they think about those things. They stay on it. So there should be more study than what I'm saying now. Thought and study. So the difference between you and I is that we all sat in the same meeting. We heard the same things. I went back. I kept reading my Bible. I went back. I got the message. I kept feeding on it. I went back. I got Christian books. I kept reading it. You went back and just said, glory, glory. I was blessed. There will be no result. It is the measure of thought and study you give to the things you hear that will determine the measure of virtue that comes back to you. So what are you going to do with the word of God? That's why people don't know. They've heard it in church. That's why we kept insisting that a church where they preach the word for 20 minutes cannot change anybody. Because to start with, you hear it for 20 minutes. Naturally, people don't even have a culture of reading their Bible at all. Many Christians don't. So imagine somebody goes through the whole week and comes to church only once in a week. He comes there on Sunday and they preach to him for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. He just hears something. Let's even say he heard the right thing. How can that influence? Because he still doesn't know that thing. Hearing it is not knowing it. That's why being in church once every week will not do you good. You must be in church 2 times in a week. Then you must go home and take that word and keep eating it. Until it becomes knowledge, it becomes flesh. Then you will just find out that you are walking in them. When I started learning the gospel, what we call grace newly. You know, it's an exciting knowledge. You know, right? The gospel is an exciting news. Very exciting. So we were just excited. Ah, grace. If I preach, we run mad. But then I paid attention that many people, it wasn't working in their lives. I've seen in the Bible, for instance, that when you hear the right teaching, it will change your conduct. But I will see many people that were still living the way they were living. So I began to ask the Lord, what is wrong? What's wrong? Are we preaching something wrong? And he showed me that James 1. See, the problem is, they look, they take their eyes off. They hear it on Monday, they don't ever get to listen to it again. They don't give it attention. They don't read it. When I began to learn the gospel, sir, read my story. I read books. Every book. There is a part. I saw it in my book. Even when I opened it, I sat down and I wrote down. Because when I began to learn the gospel, I found out I couldn't read some authors. Because I'm an avid reader. But there are many authors I couldn't read because I don't agree with what they were teaching. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't read. I wrote down over 100 authors. I should look for their books. It's still in my book. It's intentionality. You've learned that you have the life of God. What are you going to do? Stay on them. Why do you think our messages are on the site? They are there for free. We want you to feast on them. And our site is not monetized. So when we tell you to go and listen to them, we are not getting anything if you do. We are the ones spending. Do you know how much it takes to keep that site running? We keep it running every time. That site, we are not getting one dime from it. But it's there so that you can be feeding. So that you can know these things. So when you hear this, is I'm saying now, you hear them again. You hear them again. You hear them again. Until it takes a hold of you. So the point that you now know, you can't doubt it. John wrote the book of John, that the Gospel of John. And he told them that I recorded this thing, that's John 20, so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God, and knowing you may have life through his name. That's John 20. He now wrote 1 John 5 again and told them the same thing. That the reason I still wrote this letter is so that you will still know. You see that the first book did not do the job. It didn't do the job. It is consistency in teaching, in hearing, in learning, that brings about revelation knowledge. If you like, shout what I'm teaching. If you don't go and if you don't go back to study on it, you've not learned nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Know them. You see what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 8. He said to him, this book of the law, I'll talk about meditation maybe tomorrow. This book of the law shall not depart. Everybody please watch what I'm going to show. This is why many people here say, I know I went to church, but their character is not showing. It now looks like God is a liar. For somebody say, how can you be saying all Christians have love? Yes, many of them are not working in love. That is just theory. It's not theory. Look at why it's not working in their lives. It's not like God is a liar. It's not like God did not put all those things there. Why are Christians not working in it? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night. My God, I'll talk about meditation tomorrow. You know the thing about it? Tomorrow I'll give it attention. The word meditate is from the Hebrew word haga. It means, it is from the same root word where you get the word murmur. It means to murmur. Like murmuring. So meditation is the positive side of murmuring. You know how to murmur. I don't like what they do to me. Every time they will just shun on somebody, and that's how they will turn on somebody. Every time they look on somebody in this church. I don't like that. Is murmuring. That is meditating. You are meditating. That's what the Bible said you should do with the word you hear. Well, just under your breath. I'm full of the life of God. Life of God is talking inside of me. I'm righteous. He said, do it day and night. In other words, if you keep it to that, what will be the result? Then thou mayest observe to do. So there is no doing. If it doesn't stay in your heart day and night, you cannot do. If you like to hear it every day, until you put it in your heart and it takes a hold of your being, you cannot do. Tomorrow we're going to look at meditation very strongly. It's one of the factors God said. I want to talk about it today, but the Lord said there will be no time for that, so that you can give ample time tomorrow. Everything is not. Meditation is actually the positive side of murmuring. I don't like Hannah talking to me. Sometimes your leader says, you can't do that. Say, yes, sir.
Yes, I will do it. Once you're done. And I'm telling somebody, they don't even know if somebody has eaten. Do you know if I've eaten? Don't know if I've eaten. You know if I've not eaten. I just said to somebody, what if I now collapse on this shoulder and now die on this shoulder? They say, what are you saying? No, nothing, sir. I'm getting to it. That's memory. That's meditation. But you're just using it wrongly. How about you murmur God's word like that? How about we turn it over in our hearts like that? That as you go home tonight, before you sleep, you get some of these scriptures I gave you. You go through them. Mutter them to yourself. I'm full of love. Full of life. I'm patient. I have self-control. You say it. Turn it over in your mind. You sleep off. Wake up. You read another book. Listen to another teaching. Read a verse of the Bible. A chapter. Do the same thing. If you continue like that, day and night, the result will show. You know why it will show? Because it is in continuance of those things that you get to know them. Epignosis, real knowledge, is when you continue that you know. Hearing does not bring knowing. So how does my boy eventually learn that his name is Chisterem? How? We will keep calling him that name every day. Do you get the point? For 1 month, for 2 months, for 3 months, for 6 months, for 1 year. Some children don't even know till 1 year. The parents don't give up because they know that if I keep calling this boy this name, he will know it eventually. That's why a pastor must keep preaching. But then beyond the pastor preaching, you must keep hearing as you go home. Stay on it. These things are real. It can change your character because it was destined to do it. So keep learning. Keep hearing. When you get home tonight, play a message before you sleep. Play one, listen to it fully. Play the second one, sleep off with it. I get to the point. Wake up in the morning. When you are less busy, play a message. Go through it. Go through it. That's why in this church we say we'll have message of the week. That's what we're trying to achieve. Book of the month. Imagine you are following all those things. One message, one book. You will not even know. I don't know if you have woken up one day to find out that your character has really changed for the better. The devil was, you don't even know how it happened. It's now when somebody talks to you. You that used to give back fire for fire. You just smile. Sometimes you are even looking for the pain. There is no pain. Sometimes you are even pretending that you are angry. Because for real, you are not even angry. Are you going to be talking about? Something has gone. You know the point? You will not even know when the change occurred. But you are just on the word. God's word will change your life. Stay on it. Stay on it. Pray too. Look at prayer tomorrow. Pray too. But as you are praying, stay on the word. Learn these things. Learn these things. Murmur them. You know, why I like using murmur? Because meditation may look like a big English. But if I say murmur, you used to do that one normally. Murmur them. Murmur it in your words. Murmur it in your heart. Read it again. Murmur it. Hear it again. Hear it again. Go by it. Murmur it. Listen to it again. Murmur it. Until it takes. Do it, say, for how long? For as long as it takes. How many, some of you that are parents here, how many times do you call your baby his or her name every day? Before he picks them. How many times? Estimate. You can't even count. You want to wake the child. You even know the child is not hearing anything. But you're doing it. Because you know that if he keeps hearing. So it's not you marking time. I've been doing this for the past 1 week. It's not working. That's the problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I have the life of God. So even if I ask you to say, I have the life of God 200 times, say it 200 times. Tomorrow I'm going to show you also about confession. Because the more you are saying it, the more you are hearing it. Sometimes when there is a struggle in your life, we're going to look at that tomorrow. And there's a struggle in your life. Pick that struggle. Find what God said about that struggle. And start saying it to yourself. Maybe the struggle is that you struggle with immorality. That thing is eating deep into you. You can just pick,
For I'll just show you, for instance, that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love has self-control. So you begin to say, Lord, thank you. If I have self-control, the fruit of the Spirit is working in me. God's love constrains me. I'm not a slave to my emotions. I'm not a slave to my flesh. I don't do what my flesh says I should do. My flesh, my body is yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness only. Morning, afternoon, night. Whether there is temptation or not, morning, afternoon, night. You just keep going. Set a routine like that. Do it for 3 months. As you are doing it, you are reading the Bible, you are learning. You are saying, you will surely, it will get, you are speaking what is already true. That's the thing about speaking. We're going to see that tomorrow. That's the thing about speaking. When we are speaking God's word, we are not speaking for things to happen. We are speaking what has happened. So when I say, I have the life of God, I'm not actually calling the life of God to come into me. I have it. So I'm not lying. I'm stating a fact. So I will state it to a point that my brain will come to agree with my spirit. My mind will pick what has been already true in my spirit. So you find out that you are an angry person. You're always violent. Instead of saying, that's how I am. Even in our family, that's how we are. That's why me, I try to avoid quarrel. Because me, I know myself. That you are saying is why you will never change. How about we pick up the word of God? That you have self-control inside of you. That you are full of love. You are studying. You are learning. You know, there is somebody in this church that I have planned to congratulate by the end of this year. Because I know the person used to have serious anger and fight and quarrel and bite. But I've observed for a few months, you know, God's word is changing people. It can turn you that when you now look at yourself and say, ah, is it me? Me that's much and I've bite somebody. Like dog. Now I don't even have teeth again. Hallelujah. Stay on the word. He's changing us. I say he's changing us. Let's stand to our feet. Come on. Let's lift our hands and just. I just pray the Holy Ghost in this place.
For more information, inquiry or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.